It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Big Drive Energy live here in the Smith Bros basement.
On the couch.
On the couch. Fucking sad. Why does this always happen to me? Xander Schauffele just doesn't have it. And I saw a tweet today that made me feel a little better because it's not just me. But it was like, this really does feel like a fifth major. Xander Schauffele choking down the stretch.
Yeah, dude, he just doesn't have the stones. He just doesn't have what it takes. Unless it's the Olympics, that's the only thing he can win.
Well, I think the once he made the back-to-back bogeys on the back nine, I was like, all right, he still has an outside chance here. He's going to have to do something special. 16-3-18 is going to have to be two under par. Hits it to probably 25 feet on 16, leaves it short, and I knew immediately. Made birdie, so he only needed one more birdie coming in. I thought he was cooked. I thought it was over. And I was right. But then on 17, Wyndham Clark steps up and hits an absolute dart to like 4.5 feet. And I'm like, oh God, this is not bode well for Xander at all. This is not where he's going to thrive. Like, he's about to hit this to 45 feet, make par, and then have to make birdie on 18. He makes it worse on me and hits it to fucking 6 feet, 8 inches. Doesn't sniff the hole.
Yeah, that is a tough putt. Because it feels like it should go right, and you've seen it go right, but from that angle, he's almost across that slope a little bit, as opposed to like straight down it. So it just went dead fucking straight. And what did I even say right before? I was like, it's like a cup outside left. That's where he hit it, and it just never moved.
Yeah, he just didn't seem to have like that. He doesn't have what Scottie Scheffler has, and I guess we got to talk about him now because he won. First player in players history to successfully defend a player's title. And so he's won back-to-back players. He's won back-to-back weeks. I mean, I'm just exhausted talking
about
this.
Who's that dude on TikTok that said he wasn't a superstar?
Oh, should we go back to roasting it? It was quite the name.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny if I remember correctly. But That TikTok was absolutely hilarious. He commented, one of our people on TikTok commented that Scottie Scheffler is not a superstar. And
because he hasn't won in 51 weeks.
And then he just wins back to back massive weeks.
Well, he hasn't not won in 3 weeks now. Like two weeks of golf, but three calendar weeks.
Yeah. I mean, the dude is going absolutely berserk. The ball striking is just always there. That is the thing with Scottie, is he's just always inevitably there. And then once he gets the putter going, and that is the thing, is it even feels like there's weeks where he doesn't have the putter going, but he's just that good at ball striking that he fucking doesn't even need to. He needs to make some putts, but he doesn't need to make like big putts. He can just pretty much get by on, making shorter putts and just hitting the ball so fucking good. I've got a few vendettas out there. Is there anything you'd like to add on Scotty before? So he wore green pants today. Didn't know it was St. Paddy's Day. That's a douchebag move. Like, you just sound like a dipshit.
There's nothing more on brand for Scottie Scheffler than that.
Scotty's like, is that date in the Bible? Because otherwise I don't know what day it is.
Oh, wow.
What does he recognize? Easter and Christmas? Probably doesn't even fucking recognize 4th of July. Doesn't recognize St. Paddy's. What else is there that he doesn't give a shit about?
He seems like a 4th of July guy.
Yeah, he seems big pretty America. Yeah, pretty patriotic. But I couldn't see him. He probably is like wears like a red shirt and like navy blue pants and is like, this is my America fit. Like he won't wear anything but a plain fucking shirt. And that I kind of also have a gripe with anybody that wears Nike on tour still. Like, it's just boring. Like, do you want to be a Nike athlete? Is that what it is? Because you get all the other perks. You get the shoes. You get all the other shit. But Nike merch is just so blah. Like, you couldn't find a... Even Adidas has stepped up and made, like, some cool designs. And maybe Nike has, like, a few. But it's just turds. You know what I mean? Like, fucking figure it out.
Yeah, it's just pure salt coming from the Big Drive Bros right now in relation to Scottie Scheffler. I mean, 64 on Sunday at the Players. There was a few tweets of people that were like, don't count him out, and you never can. But famously, Mitchell counted him out on Wednesday. If you're following us on Twitter, check it out, Big Drive Energy. But on our pod on Wednesday, I said, I'm going to feel like a dickhead if I don't bet Scottie Scheffler and he wins. Mitchell goes on to say something to the effect of, or exactly, he's not going to win 2 weeks in a row.
Nobody does that.
Nobody does that, except for this guy.
Except for this fucking guy.
He hit the ball striking all day was just on point. I felt the most defeated when on 13 or 12, excuse me, the drivable four, he had just birdied 11. Drivable four comes up and he smokes one. You know how it puts like curve on it?
Yeah.
It shows you how much it curves. Curve. It was like not curving.
Yeah.
And it was a miss.
Frozen rope.
All the way down, right onto the green. Of course, he missed the putt, but made the birdie putt. And he's so good that he doesn't even have to be at his peak in every part of the game in order to win a fucking Players Championship.
Exactly. Like,
he missed a putt on 18 he probably could have made. He, on 17 today, had an incredible two putt. I mean, it was like they showed the stat. They were, you know, the announcer jinx. I don't know how much it works in golf. It definitely is a thing in other sports, but the announcer jinx, they were trying to throw it out there. He gets to 17 tee and they said he hasn't hit it in the water in seven straight rounds here. Then he gets to the green. He's got like 45, 50 feet. And they said he's currently on a 170 hole, no three putt streak.
Oh God.
And he puts it to, no joke, 4 inches, like almost makes the 50 footer.
What a fucking, just a clutching up. Well, so there was 364s today. So he tied for low round of the day with Siwoo Kim and Grayson Murray. But everybody else, I'll get to my dudes that I bet on in a minute, because we are actually starting a blacklist on this podcast of dudes that we will never again bet on. And just to keep it in the chamber, because sometimes you forget, sometimes guys play tricks on you. But I am at the point where I'm blacklisting dudes. And that snaggletooth fuck Tom Hoagie is on the top of that list. Why did I ever fucking bet on the guy? He has it to 8 under through going into the weekend. He's T6, proceeds to like have an up and down round, kind of hanging in there on Saturday, makes an 8 on 18.
A snowman.
What professional golfer does that? Like, could you just imagine the dumb look on his face when he's doing like fucking, like just looking around like, oh, just happy to be here. Like, oh my God.
Happy to be at the Players again.
Yeah. And piss down your leg. And then Sam Burns, once again, is the epitome of not clutch. He already lost to an amateur this year at the Amex. And then he's also got in a pretty good position going into Sunday. And what does he do? He shoots 76. So I had two dudes that were in the top 10 going into the weekend. They ended up T45 and were T45 and T54. And they were both T6 going into Saturday. No, Hoagie was fifth or fourth.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Tom Hoagie's on the top of my blacklist. And Sam Burns is 1 week away from it. Like, he's got two strikes on him, in my opinion. If I bet him one more time, and this shit happens, I'm out. Because he has the round of the day yesterday. You know, could have gone even lower. He shot 64, 65.
Hoagie?
No, Burns.
Oh, Burns, yeah. Round of the day, 65. He bogeyed the 18th hole.
Bogeyed to shoot 65, and then you're like, okay, I just need him to shoot, you know, 4 or 5 under today, get into the top 10. What does he do? He shoots fucking 76. Like, what? Why do I get sucked into this trap? And I legitimately, like, I'm over, like, betting against Scottie Scheffler. And this is dumb because I should have gotten off this train a while ago. But I bet on him, or I bet against him specifically because I just don't like the guy. And I'm over it at this point. I might pick him to win every single week. Like, if we need to just pick a winner, let's just, one of us needs to have him on our card every week.
Yeah, there's, after this performance and where he's at going into, we still got a couple weeks until the Masters. There's absolutely zero chance he's off my card on the Masters.
He might be minus 150 to win the Masters. He might be fucking minus 500. Like, he is far and away, if we're making March Madness references, he is the number one overall seed. And then there's everybody else. Let's also talk about Wyndham Clark, because it looked like he was about to run away with it after Friday. And then, you know, he was obviously there. Let's talk a little bit about the whip out. That was disgusting.
Yeah. So if you weren't watching, but you are watching us, thank you. We, on 18, Wyndham Clark and Xander Schauffele and Brian Harman, who is like very silently just fired. What did he fire 64 today too? Or something low, 64 or 65.
Who is this?
Brian Harman.
Oh, Harman. Yes. So, Brian Harman shot, God bless. He shot 4 under today. He shot 68.
So he shot 64 yesterday or something like that. Because he was even par.
Yeah, I think Thursday. He went 67, 64, 68.
So he all three of Wyndham Clark, Xander Schauffele, and Brian Harman had to make one birdie. None of them could make birdie on 18 to end up going into a playoff, which, let's face it, Scottie Scheffler would have won the playoff as well. But it would have sent it into a playoff at least. And Harman basically lipped it out. Schauffele had no chance. He had like a 60-footer. He actually had a pretty good putt. But Wyndham Clark, that thing at the slow-mo, there was a point where the ball was 75%
underneath. Yeah, literally all the way down. And it was like, have you seen that emoji where, or that gif, what all the newfangled, the fucking Gen Zers are calling it? The gif where the dude lips it out and this big middle finger pops out of the hole. That was the epitome of Wyndham's putt. And the fact of the matter is he early walked that shit.
I was going to say,
he early walked it. The ball knew that. The ball looked back, was like, go fuck yourself. You think you're bigger than me. You think you're better than me. I'm not going in this hole. And I'm just going to make you writhe in pain standing there with your fucking putter between your legs. And you're going to finish second because you can't fucking early walk. That's it, rule number one. And he gave it like that half step. It was almost like the, and everybody's done that.
I do it every time.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to make any putt. 2-footer or not, I'm fucking walking.
Yeah. No, you give it the early step. But the ball just knew it wasn't. It knew that Wyndham did the early step. And that was...
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
That was over at that point. When I saw him do the early step, I was like, no way it fucking goes in. Because that's what fairy tales are made of. That shit doesn't happen in real life.
Yeah, and he had... The unfortunate part for Wyndham is he's catching a lot of shit right now for all the stuff he said last week, but he's playing up to his mouth's level.
Yeah.
Which is one thing Rory McIlroy is obviously not doing. Wyndham Clark is in almost every tournament now. He embarrassed the field the first 2 days. He was 5 clear. Obviously doesn't matter unless you win the tournament.
All he needed was what, 69 on the weekend. He was 14 under through 2 days.
Yeah.
He had the low round of Friday and or Thursday and Friday, correct?
Yep.
So yeah, you go into the weekend 14 under, and I think he shot 2 under yesterday, 3 under today. But all he would have needed was a pair of 300 par 69s. Nice. But he just couldn't couldn't get it done. Speaking of guys that say shit and then don't finish anywhere near the top, Justin Thomas had a quote about the field this week, and he was like, you know, there's going to be no asterisks next to this win when I go out and win this week at the Players, because all the best players are here. You missed the fucking cut, buddy. That's always a tough scene. Justin Thomas is going through it right now, and Jordan Spieth. They've got these guys in, like, the main groups, like the feature groups on ESPN, and we're watching – it's like watching Sunday golf out of your local club. These dudes are hitting it in the fucking trees all over the place, missing everything. Like, they need to get to the point where they're like, we can't keep putting these dudes in, like, featured groups. They're recognizable names, but that doesn't mean people want to watch them shoot 75. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Jordan Spieth all over the place. Like, can't keep it on the map. So, yeah, that's a funny scenario right now. And a little Smash GC tweet with the scissors on Justin Thomas quote tweet of that quote that he had earlier in this week. So a little bit of Liv and PGA Tour pettiness for the week, but that's kind of standard.
Yeah, well, it's just a matter of getting the right guys on the TV, and that's the one thing that it seems like the PGA Tour never does a good job of half the time. Like today, the featured group on ESPN Plus was Ludwig Aubert and Christian Bezuidenhout. Like, that was the two guys that they were featuring. And no matter what, like, Scottie Scheffler is just, I'm so miffed by the way that he just keeps doing this. But I'm also, it's like I'm broken. He's broken me for watching golf, because he wasn't even like, he goes out in 5 under today. And then you're thinking, okay, here we go again. And he made a few quote unquote mistakes on the back nine. And the second he makes a mistake, I believe it was on the par 5, 16. He hits it into the little pot bunker. That's the size of this fucking smaller than this couch.
By three.
Fucking hits it to a foot and makes birdie. And
it's bogey just free on Sunday. Bogey free 64. This dude does not know what a big moment is like, because he's never been, you know, he just handles everything. And that is honestly something that you got to respect, because he's just so even keel throughout the whole process. And like, you see Wyndham fist bump on 17 when he makes that putt. And there was clear emotion there, which makes sense, but it just feels like Scottie doesn't have that. Like, he's just never too high, never too low. And it, like you said, dude, it's breaking me. Like, watching him just so nonchalant about everything and just goes out and beats everybody's ass. I'm so fucking sick of it.
Yeah. Well, once, speaking of emotion, you know, I'm obviously emotionally invested in Xander Schauffele. He was on my card this week. And once I saw him, he made bogey on, I believe, 12 or 13. No, he made birdie on 12, makes bogey on 13, then hits his tee shot on 14 and slams the club. And that's when I knew, at that moment, I knew it was over for me and for him. He still almost made it back. I mean, he had a chance on 17, and that's going to stick with me for a while. But, you know, like we've said, we don't have to say it a ton, just didn't have the clutch gene that it ended up. Wyndham had an eagle putt on 16 that he barely missed, stiffs one on 17, then makes it, puts all the pressure on. Well, Scottie Scheffler has no pressure on him. He's fucking in the clubhouse signing his scorecard. And then he sauntered out to the range and found out that Wyndham didn't make the putt on 18. But the emotion from Schauffele and Wyndham is very different than what you saw from Scottie Scheffler. And the other crazy part about Scottie Scheffler is he's so dominant that it doesn't matter. Like, some guys on tour, you're like, okay, they're better off if they need to come back on Sunday a little bit, or they need to like kind of forget that they're not leading. Let's say they're not leading the tournament going into Sunday. They need to go have a low number. They'll go get one and make it close. Like, Rory McIlroy is the king of that. Going and getting a low number when
if he's out of it. Yes.
But Xander just seems like a guy that even when he's leading, he was so steady all day. And then one thing goes wrong, he doesn't make a putt, and he just wasn't able to hold on to it. I mean, back-to-back bogeys. He made bogey on 2 today as well, and then he held the lead by himself for a good 4 or 5 minutes, and 4 or 5 holes, what it felt like 4 or 5 minutes, because I just thought, I thought Wyndham was coming. We knew Scotty was coming, shooting five, going out in five under. I will say, though, my card ended up pretty well. So Adam Hadwin, he missed the cut, but
the famous club.
He had one of the best moments of the entire Players Week, chucking his club into the water on 18 on Thursday. But Ludwig Aubert and Xander Schauffele both finished in the top five. So I had a pretty good week on the betting card. We are snubbed from a winner again, but you can always bet with us over at Bet365. Make sure to check out Bet365 and use the code ALLCITY when you sign up. If you use that code ALLCITY in all caps, you get two different offers. Either bet $5 and get a $150 in free bonus bets to use all season long. Betting on golf is the best way to use bonus bets because you're betting on one guy, one week, and you get great odds. I think I had Xander at plus 1,600 this week, and Bet365 does a great job of boosting. They give you a boost every single week. So I had Xander even boosted another 30% on my card. But they make it super easy to bet golf by giving you the each ways. So we've moved our card to each way 1 through 12. That didn't affect us this week, luckily, in one way or the other. I had, you know, both of my two guys were in the top five, so it didn't affect the 1 through 12 versus 10. But your guys, it felt like that was going to be a big deal until Burns and Hoagie just completely fucking
pissed down their leg
today. After, I just, betting golf is so fun because it's 4 days of a bet.
Yeah.
That's the fun part. You get to watch for 4 days, but when you have losses like this, and I believe I'll have to look this up, like go through week to week, but we're now, since the Tournament of Champions, which is the first quote, well, now the first week of the PGA Tour season, there's been roughly 10 golf tournaments, 11 golf tournaments, maybe 11 PGA Tour events this year that we've bet on. And I think we've had the leader or a guy within a stroke of the lead or leading the tournament every Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
This year.
And we haven't won one.
We haven't won a single fucking one.
It's disgusting. And like you just can't get too high. You can't ride the roller coaster because that's what I do. When Hoagie was popping off on Friday, I was walking around the house, fist bumping, like, let's fucking go. This hillbilly's coming in for me, like coming in hot. And he just shit down his leg. But actually, so I was just looking at Xander Schauffele's stats. He is 126 in strokes gained putting this year. And the four previous years, last year he was top five in strokes gained putting. The year before that, he was like 30th. The year before that, he was 16th. And the year before that, he's like 30th. So statistically speaking, the last 5 years relative to this year, he's fucking horrible on the greens this year. And honestly, like Xander Schauffele, the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Schauffele, what do you think?
Choker.
I meant like what part of his game you think, what part of his game is he known for?
He's like a really good wedge and iron player.
See, I think he's known as a really good putter.
Okay.
I've always known him as a good putter. And clearly this year he's not getting it done on the greens. But what did I say? Wasn't this a couple weeks ago? I said Xander's move. I just don't like how much he dumps it inside, how much right side bend he gets in transition. It is proven. I mean, he's still 8th overall strokes gained on tour this year with being 126 in strokes gained putting. So his ball striking is phenomenal, but it sounds like the putter's letting him down this year. And he's that dude that feels like he can't put it all together. You know what I mean? He'll have a great day ball striking and can't make anything, or then he's making everything. He's basically like your average 5 handicap.
Well, and he was getting, like, because I'm obviously dialed in on him all week being on my card, he was getting just some of the most shit bounces. I think there was two or three times where he got collared up, which he ended up making today on 12, the drivable four. He hit it so hard he drove it over the green, and then it rolls right up into the collar. They have at the Players, they have that like foot of kind of semi fairway, and then it goes to the rough, which the rough was insanely bad.
The rough was insane. There was a couple good videos of Wyndham hitting out of that rough this week.
Yeah, well, his first shot on Saturday morning were like, oh, cool, Wyndham's going to give one back.
He thought it was embedded. He thought the ball was fucking embedded, and then he ends up hitting it to, what, 2-3 feet?
Yeah. But the Xander Schauffele just not being able to make the clutch. There was just like just so many opportunities, and when you're and when every stroke matters, when Scotty Scheffler is just blowing the field away, it's so like I'm just beaten down.
you're just a battered man.
I'm gonna need till Wednesday again to get back on this horse. But at least I actually did make all of my money back on Bet365 with my picks.
That's very well done. Well, and if you think about it too, when you have opportunities early in the round and you don't capitalize, it just makes every single next opportunity that much more pressure packed. And that's just something Xander's not built for. He's built for pressure on a Friday. Oh, speaking of that, which, who's that dude who fucking...
Oh, my God, yeah. So, one of the best stories of the weekend, it was Cameron...
Oh, it's Ben Silverman.
Ben Silverman.
Yes.
So, Ben Silverman, if you guys didn't see this on Twitter, Ben Silverman was one shot off of making the cut on Friday afternoon.
Or was it two shots?
No, one shot.
Well, didn't he have to hole out?
Sorry, two shots, but he had to hole his next shot from wherever it was.
Yes.
In order to make the cut.
Yeah.
So he has 109 yards in on the 18th hole, the ninth hole, excuse me.
Maybe. Par five?
Yeah. Ninth hole. It wasn't because it wasn't eight. No, it was 18. Fucking what? He had 109 yards in. So instead of playing the shot on Friday, he stays the night, probably cost himself who knows how much in extra lodging.
Yeah, because he said it was dark out. He said it was too dark. He wanted to give that shot everything he had.
Yeah, so he goes to the range the next day, only hits 109-yard shots with sand wedge, doesn't warm up with anything else, just sand wedge after sand wedge after sand wedge. And the way they built it up in the video, and they're like, look how it turned out, shows him hitting the shot Saturday morning, and he doesn't even hit the green. He hits it in the deep.
Yeah, he just missed it. Like, literally right off the club face, he knew it was fucking cooked. Like, what a defeating feeling. Do you know what I have a hunch? Is that he's got a young kid or two at home. And he's just like, you know what? I'm going to get one more night of good sleep out on the road. His wife's like, what are you doing, honey? I thought he's like, no, I got to go out and hit the one shot tomorrow morning. I got to stick around. And let's be real, like making the cut at the Players, you do get a pretty sizable check, relatively speaking, just for farting it around on the weekend and playing like shit. But yeah, the only explanation for me is that he just wanted a good night's sleep. He's got probably a screaming baby at home, and he's like, why am I going to rush to fucking get there and deal with this shit? Also, do you think that, like, how confident do you think guys are that they book like four nights of hotel?
I think there's
like 20 dudes on tour.
There's like levels to that. But even that's the thing about golf in general, is even on the professional level, you have guys that miss cuts and then go and win the next week.
Yeah.
So it's so course based, and you know, there's a lot of things that we don't even know. There's something I found out today, which wouldn't have changed how I was betting earlier in the week, but Xander Schauffele is going through a swing change right now. I'm like, oh, sick.
Cool. Maybe he's trying not to snap hook the shit out of it.
Well, once I heard that today, I was like, oh, that's fucking perfect.
Can you imagine how many fucking rewards points those guys have in hotels and flights?
Probably a shit. Well, I would imagine.
They book it all themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
God, dude, they probably, I would love to see their account balance. I'm like obsessed with travel points.
Like you are a little travel point slut.
Yeah. That shit gets me going. I don't care what anybody says. But yeah, Ben Silverman, hilarious. Another great story. So a video emerged on social media of Max Homa almost decapitating one of the spectators. So let's get into this a little bit because that bugged the fuck out of me. There's so much to unpack. So if you haven't seen the video, check it out on Twitter. We don't have a producer right now, so we can't pull it up. Shout out Marissa. I hope she's having fun in Santa Fe, living her best life. But Max Homa's over in the right rough, and historically speaking, they let people stand way too fucking close. There's people lined up right to, like, legitimately 2 feet to the right of where he's hitting a shot, all the way down. So this guy's taking a video from like probably 20 yards in front of Homa, and I could tell immediately from the video that Homa was aiming right at them, like directly at them. Everybody thought he's aiming left of there. And so a few questions for me. Why didn't he tell them to move? Because the ball legitimately went like 6 inches over this dude's head. Probably, I think it was like a 4-iron, so probably almost 140, 150 miles an hour. If you got hit directly in the head with a golf shot like that, you're probably dead. You may be brain dead at best. Like, you're a vegetable. And so, like, people are literally out there risking it with their fucking phones out, like a bunch of dumbasses, holding their phone out to try to get this golf shot from this angle. And it smokes the fucking tree right behind him. I thought it hit the dude in the head because we heard a scream. And I was like, you know, win fucking play stupid games, win stupid prizes type shit. But there's just, like, I don't know why Max didn't ask him to move. How do you not see this and move on your own? Why are you standing there? There's so many questions. Like, what gap did Max see? Because he hit it right. And that is just the classic case of, I've got a gap. I've got a foot wide palm tree, and I've got 20 feet to the left of it to hit the ball. I'm going to hit that foot wide palm tree. Like, that's classic case Murphy's Law.
Yeah. Well, by the look of it from behind the swing, when you saw the video of him hitting the tree instead of hitting the video from the phone point of view, it did look like he had a fairly sizable gap. Now, these guys miss shots all the time. Everybody misses golf shots. It's just about it's about the next shot in golf. But they would have had to move so many people over to the right, and there was nowhere for them to really go because it looked like a whole stack of trees. I do think it's insane. And it's definitely something that PGA Tour players probably takes a while to get used to, of how close, because every time you see somebody hit a ball in the rough, there's 10 people crowding around, like within very close proximity to it. And yeah, that could have ended up really fucking bad.
Has there ever been like a stretcher and like an ambulance on the, like at a PGA Tour event to like wheel somebody out?
I don't know about that serious, but there was a viral video from quite a few years ago of a guy that, do you remember this? He got hit in the head. It was on a bounce, but he got hit in the head. I think he was also a volunteer. He wasn't a spectator. He was working the tournament. He was sitting in a chair.
Oh yeah.
He got knocked over and he got a full on boner.
What? He got a boner?
Yes.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm not joking. I will find this video and I will show you.
Dude, it's like your infant son just gets a random boner. Like, you fucking...
Dude, he did. He got...
You, like, tickle his ear and he gets a boner. Like, what a fucking wild... What a wild ride.
Yeah, it was one of the funniest videos I've ever seen.
Holy shit. Oh, I do remember when Dustin Johnson flew that driver, like, into a volunteer's just, like, back of their head. And they were looking the other way. They were looking at the hole, and there's literally people... You just can't fix the general population. They're just too fucking dumb for their own good.
No. Another great moment that came out of this week was good old Rick Fowler fucking yelling at getting pissed off because apparently he was recording with somebody. I think he was recording with the sound on. So I don't know.
Or I think maybe he had like a camera and he was taking pictures like
something like that. But Ricky hit one bad, and We all know this, and if you play golf, if you've played golf at all, you know that most of the time, a noise does bother you, but a noise bothers you infinitely more when the golf shot doesn't end up near where it should, and then you have a lot, like, depending upon your mental capacity, which mine's very low, and Ricky's probably frustrated. I think he was, like, 4 or 5 over par this week. He did make the cut, but... not much more than that.
Yeah, I think almost DFL.
Yeah, once you end up hitting a bad shot, it's completely that person's fault, not yours.
1,000%. Like, my favorite thing to do is when somebody makes a noise right in, and I've mentioned it on the pod before, but that is my one thing that will throw me into a tailspin, is if it's silent and then there's a noise only in my swing. I can play with music, I can play with anything, and that's kind of like, you got to feel like at a PGA Tour event, there's enough general like background buzz, like noise, like nobody's dead silent, because even if the spectators around you are dead silent, there's a group on another hole that's cheering, you know, there's shit happening, there's people talking. So there's got to be like a little like white background noise. So just like hearing one specific little phone click and flying off the handle, that was 100% from the result of the shot. Like, if that thing would have split the fairway, he would have been like, fucking cool, dude. Keep taking pictures. So yeah, I love blaming shit on other people. That's like the story of my life.
Yeah, that's the
easy. On the golf course. I take pretty well fucking accountability for everything else, for the most part.
For the most part. One other thing I did want to touch on is Rory McIlroy a cheater?
He's a fucking choker cheater.
Well,
cheater choker.
So this happened twice on Thursday. Two different
places
where he hits it in a certain area. And I think Jordan Spieth was definitely like a little bit more of like, oh my God, this is Rory. I know Jordan Spieth's been a great player in his own right. I mean, he's won more Masters than Rory, but he kind of maybe bent the knee a little bit to Rory and where Rory wanted to drop it. But Victor Hovland was having fucking none of that.
Yeah.
Victor Hovland was like, no, like kept disagreeing. First they disagreed on the tee box and then he hit another golf shot on a completely different hole. And Victor was like, okay, I'm not having this again. Cause the first time he did it, he was like rolling. He was made seven birdies in like 11 holes. He was cooking on Thursday morning. And Victor, from when they started to have the conversation of like, do you need to re-tee or can you go up there and drop? Victor wasn't saying a word. They were showing him on the camera, but Victor's caddy actually like backed Rory kind of, and was like, I think it went up there.
Okay.
Well, then the second time that happened, I think it was 18. Victor was like, no, fuck this. And they're like standing in the middle of the fairway, already annoyed that they can't hit their own golf shots. But then they have to keep tabs on fucking Rory because he's hitting it in the water. And the thing that I don't understand is I feel like 90% of people try to cheat in golf just generally. Like, you take
advantage you can get.
Exactly. But I don't know how you could – like, I don't think Rory's a cheater, but if you're crazy enough to try to fucking cheat in front of that many people, front of other players that are – following the rules, you followed the rules your whole life. That's how you got to this point. By you know, you had to play by the rules in every professional event, whatever.
Unless you're Patrick Reed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did see some stuff that says, is Wyndham Clark the new Patrick Reed? Because he took a drop. I don't want to get, let's go back to Wyndham in a second.
Yeah.
But Rory, if you're crazy enough to fucking cheat, that's like cheating right in front of your own girlfriend. What, you know, like
walking up to another chick at the bar with your girlfriend 10 feet away and making out with her.
Yeah, like it's. And then my mind goes, is it so insane that it's just simply he's fucking like, yep, I'm Rory. I think it dropped up here. So I'm going to drop right here where I think it went in.
Well, no, I for sure. And I think there's a few different elements to it because we've all been, if you played tournament golf, you've been in that position. And it all depends on how good the player is playing. Like if Rory would have been 3 over for the day, Victor Hovland would have been like, yeah, fucking go drop it up by the green for all I give a fuck. But he's got the round of the day going. He's 7 under. Like, he's absolutely cooking. Snipes one out of bounds, or in the water, I'm sorry. Like he fucking does from time to time because his swing just isn't built to fucking win majors, you know? And then he goes up there, and it almost makes me think that he believed it. And it was pretty funny, in all honesty, because he was pretty dead set. Like he was standing on business over there by the hazard. And then Victor comes from the clouds. Like they all start walking back. And even Jordan did give him some pushback. But then Jordan is like, we've all been in that same position where Jordan was like arguing at first and Rory was just adamant. And Jordan's like, fuck it. Like, I don't care. I'm already trying to figure out how to not shoot 76 today. So you just drop it wherever you want. And, you know, we're going to be fine from there. So let me actually read this quote from Jordan Spieth because it was so funny. Like, he legitimately has never said less before. They asked him about you. We didn't get a chance to ask you about your version of what happened on the 7th hole from your point of view. He said, I thought it ended up in a good spot. I only walked over there because I thought he had dropped it. And then he was questioning where he was dropping it. So I was just trying to make sure he didn't play and everyone was good. I was good with the spot he was choosing. Then I was just listening to the conversation of Rory and Victor, and Rory had said, I think it's this. We think it crossed up there. Could have been back there. So this seems like somewhere in between. But then that sounds like something you probably should verify with the rules official. And then he did, and it was all good. How many fucking times can you say all good? That is a dude that totally disagrees with Rory's drop. Like, that quote could not be further from the, like, agreeing with Rory.
Yeah, well, that got me in the hole. Like, I felt awkward. Like, I just was like, oh, this is so awkward.
I love that. I love when somebody comes over and starts motherfucking them. Well, and Jordan is just such a beta that he's like, well, everybody over there was saying it did this.
Yeah,
like,
that'd be me. I would be, any way I could take
it. He'd be like, my wife just texted me. She was watching on TV and she said it went in the hazard. Not me. I didn't say that. Yeah. But my buddy texted me from home. My wife texted me. That would be your move. But yeah, Jordan comes over. He's like, all these people sent a cross back here, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I'm staying out of it. And then, well, so then Jordan said, what these people? And then did you hear Rory's caddy? He goes, who's what these people? He goes, who's these people saying that across? So basically they were going off the assumption that nobody saw it. Like they wouldn't have any evidence to the contrary, no matter where they, like, within reason, you know what I mean? Like it crossed up in that general area and they were going to take the drop and nobody was going to tell them otherwise.
Yeah. That's just a level of play that Rory would kind of, like, there's only like five or six guys on tour that would act like that.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody else is always like, oh, well, unless you're just a straight up cheater, which like Patrick Reed's on live tour. So we don't have to worry about that a ton with him, but like, maybe there's a few guys here or there that try to bend the rules a little bit. Wyndham's definitely getting that way. And when somebody said, is Wyndham Clark the next Patrick Reed on tour? Because he took a drop today where he was in the rough, but he was close enough. You know, this is one of my favorite things in golf is just the sprinkler head or the grates or something where you're like, you like make a fucked up swing to hit the grate. Like you're like, ah, I just can't do it. No,
you're like doing the splits to get your foot on the cart path.
Exactly.
To get the drop.
Yeah, exactly. So Wyndham was doing that, but he was like stomping around this grate, like trying to like, and who knows, maybe he's smart enough that he knew he was doing this the whole time, but he's like stomping around this grate, trying to take a stance. And he's like taking his relief and he ends up dropping it right where he had just been stomping.
Oh,
so he has like a clean lie.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
That is gamesmanship at its finest. And whenever you see somebody like stomping through shit, I love when dudes throw out like when they're in the fescue and you see them lift that fucking leg up real high and then just a big stomp. You're like, oh, you all of a sudden have a perfect lie in 2 foot tall grass. Like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, so, it seems like you found your ball.
Oh, it looks like he found it because he's fucking clearing his own lie for himself.
On that last step. I think that's it, man. I mean, it's just kind of disheartening to watch Scottie Scheffler win again, especially in that fashion when you think he didn't really have it all week and he goes out and fires 64.
He's just such a turd, just a blah, like lamest superstar we've had in recent golf memory. Like as much as I talk shit about Jordan Spieth, when he was hot, he was fun to watch and he had some personality, you know, he was never like a dick, but he was fucking funky and like, a little bit quirky. Scotty's not quirky. The only quirk is when he sucks at putting. Like that's the extent of his like quirkiness. Other than that, he's just a machine and just goes to bed at 8 o'clock every night with a warm glass of milk, fucking wakes up and fires 64.
Yeah. Well, when he's putting well, that's like his final infinity stone. And you just can't beat the guy.
Scottie Scheffler putting well is the final boss of everybody else on the PGA Tour.
100%. And it's just got to be so disheartening for all of them because Xander's grinding it out. Hardman's grinding it out. Wyndham's grinding it out. Lips out the putt on 18. But then you're like, oh, well, we didn't fucking catch a guy that was five back of us starting the day.
Yeah, he was literally started the day 12 under and came back and won. It's like death, taxes, Scottie Scheffler. He's inevitable. Got to give him credit.
Yeah, and all the credit to him. And it's insane to me that I think it was Tainted Meat Beater. I think that was, now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure that's who it was on TikTok. But him bringing up that he hadn't won 51 weeks, I mean, now he can shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
clearly.
He woke up
but,
a fucking sleeping giant.
Yeah, but it's insane to think that, I mean, he's obviously correct in that statement that he didn't win for almost a year.
Yeah.
How?
And yeah, when you see him win, you're like, how does he not win every week?
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't make any sense when he doesn't win, which is fucking weird.
Yeah, just like dart after dart after. I think he hit like the last 12 fairways, all 300 yards plus, sometimes three wood, sometimes driver, fairway, 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 hits it close, hits it close. Like this guy, it's exhausting.
They should make like a rule for Scottie Scheffler. Like if he makes three straight birdies, he has to like hit his next drive blindfolded or some shit. Like it's just too easy for him when he's rolling. It's automatic. Like you never, that's the other thing too, is like, he's not fun to watch because he doesn't make mistakes. Like when you think he could fuck up, he doesn't. And then his short game is so good that when you think he's dead, he holds it out or he fucking hits it to a foot and you're like, how did he do that from like inside a paper bag? So he's just got every, like he drives it so good. His irons are so good. He wedges it so good. And if he's putting well, he's fucking unstoppable.
Yeah. He's something else.
Do we want to do a mulligan of the week?
Oh yeah. Let's finish this up with a mulligan of the week. So this is our episode for Monday. Obviously we'll be doing this every single major week. So every single major week, we'll go live on Sunday afternoon, depending upon where the leaders are at. Generally, when they get to 17, 18, et cetera. But we'll do it live.
If Scotty has a lead like midday, Sunday of the Masters, like 3-9, we'll just do it then.
We'll just start it then.
Because he's not losing.
No, we'll just start it then. All right. Do you want to kick us off with your mulligan of the week?
Well, yes. So actually, I want to do a mulligan of the week for somebody else because I don't have one of mine off the top of my head. But this lady on university coming back to the house. Is it university? No, it's a
Josephine University.
Same shit. She went the wrong way. She pulled out, was in the lane, like facing me. I was going like 40 miles an hour going straight at her. And I cut somebody off to get over. Cause I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? Like, and she fully was aware. Like it was just very embarrassing for her. So yeah, I feel like that was just, There. Have you ever gone the wrong way on a one way?
Yes, I have. I did it in Chicago, and it was fucking horrible. I had to dip into this fucking Target real quick.
Caused like a 2-hour traffic jam.
Yeah, like, no shit. Luckily it was a big one way. It was a big road, like four or five lanes. So I turn right on it, and I just see all cars coming at me, and I just like, whoa, what the fuck? So I just dove into this Target.
Yeah, there isn't many things worse than a wrong way on a one way.
No, well, and speaking of driving, that's where my mulligan of the week comes in. I went to the dentist a little while back, and my dentist is in a place that I know how to get to from our old, where we used to live in like Elizabeth or somewhere easy. But I was coming to the dentist from my office and my work. And I thought I had a dict. I'm horrible at directions. You know this. I'm so directionally challenged. I end up, my maps is fucked up on my phone. And I can't get it to, and I'm going 60 miles an hour down the highway. So I can't get it to fucking load. So I'm like, I think I'm headed in the right direction. I'm going towards a certain area. I end up going the completely wrong way. Finally, maps loads and I fucking get there.
How far away were you?
15 minutes late. But I don't know which road heads which way. I'm so bad at that in general. And when my maps aren't working and I'm going somewhere where I don't know exactly where it is, I'm fucking cooked.
Okay. So that reminds me of another mulligan of mine is just letting you drive whenever we're together. Like just when you're like all drive, I should just never allow you to drive. Because
sometimes I like driving.
You like to text and drive. You text and then you're driving. Like driving is secondary. Let's just have it out.
No, I'm better.
Okay, so you had your I gotta bring this up. You had your windshield wipers on. Okay, 5 minutes.
There we go.
There was no water, no nothing. Your windshield was just dry, and you were just fucking in such another world. And you're behind the wheel, by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't like I was staring at my world.
Yes, you were.
No, I was not. Dude, we're so fucking off on this.
In what world can you stare at windshield wipers going on a dry windshield for 5 straight minutes and not just turn those shits off?
I don't think about it. I'm just driving.
You're in another world then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
You're just staring a hole through your fucking windshield.
Yeah, basically.
For shit's sake.
Yeah, and Mitchell's fucking like, turn fucking windshield wipers off. I'm like, dude, are you driving or am I driving?
Dude, and then you get on the highway and you sit in the right two lanes the entire time.
We have to get off pretty quick. Like once we get on the highway, it's like 5 or 6 exits.
It's 10 miles.
I don't think that.
It's a good 15, 20 minutes. And Spencer, and then he wonders why people in front of him are slow and he's getting cut off. He's fucking going. I legitimately looked over. You're going 55 on I-25 and people in the left two lanes were going 75.
Well, like sometimes I just like to just cruise, all right? You don't have to fucking hate me for cruising.
No, I hate that. Like, I want to jump out the window when I'm in the car with you driving. Like,
well, maybe next time you should.
Maybe next time, fuck around, find out.
Fuck around, find out, jump out the window. All right, that wraps it up for us this week. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on all social medias at Big Drive Energy on Instagram, or excuse me, at Big Drive Energy on TikTok and X or Twitter, Big Drive Energy Pod on Instagram, at Big Drive Energy Golf on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up, give us a like, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We go live every Monday and Wednesday, unless it's a major, then we order the fifth major like the Players, and we go live on Sunday afternoon.
I got one thing to say. Yeah. Scottie Scheffler's not winning next week.
Oh, well, he's probably not playing next week. That's the only way that guy's not going to win.
He's not winning his next start.
Yeah.
Okay. Book it.
Book it.
Book it.
I hope he wins again. I'm going to bet on him. I'm going to bet on him just to spite you.
Okay, perfect.
All right, everybody have a great week. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Peace.